Isn't God good? You know, God knows what we need. Can you say amen? And thank God for the Holy Ghost. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, this evening to a couple of passages. We're going to look at Psalm 107 and also Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Psalm 107. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm just going to share, I've preached on this theme a lot of times over the years, and a lot of times we just call it, He sent His Word. And I just think that tonight we're going to get a lot of answers. Amen? You know, when the Word of God goes forth, we need to be plugged in and tuned in. Amen? Because it's not just what we say, it's what the Holy Spirit says about what we say. And sometimes we can just preach one message, but the Holy Spirit is saying something completely different to you, speaking to very specific aspects of your life. So let's have ears to hear tonight what the Spirit of God would say to us. Can you say amen? Psalm 107, starting with verse 17, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food. They drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. I want you to notice, again, we're going to go through it kind of verse at a time. Fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. How many of you know there is a cause and effect where our sins are concerned? We can't just live any old way we want and think that we're going to avoid the consequences. Can you say amen? How many know Jesus bore our judgment, but that doesn't mean that when we do wrong, there are no consequences. There are still consequences when we sin, even though, thank God, Jesus bore our judgment. Can you say amen? And so the Bible said that fools, because of their transgressions and their iniquities, were afflicted. Said their soul abhorred all manner of food. Have you ever been there where you're just so low? Maybe by virtue of the consequence of bad decisions or whatever, but you're just so low you can't even stand the thought of food. And that's where this individual is talking about being. It says, they drew near to the gates of death, and they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. Notice how He did it. He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Now, how many know God is a good God, and He will lift us out of a pit of our own digging? In fact, the plan of redemption was nothing but God lifting mankind out of a pit of His own digging, and He foot the bill. Can you say amen? But at the same time, a lot of times when we get ourselves into trouble, we'll pray and we'll kind of cast up some of those Hail Mary prayers, and what we want is a quick fix. What we want is a bailout. How many of you know we hear a lot about bailouts these days, where companies get themselves in all kinds of trouble, and all of a sudden here comes the government or whatever agency rushing in just to give them a bailout, alleviating them of the consequences of their actions. How many of you know that sometimes when we do that, people are really none the better off because we got them out of this one, but they're going to be right back in that same hole again before long. Can you say amen? So God is not always into bailouts. Now, don't get me wrong. He has redeemed us. He has provided deliverance and salvation for us. But the way God brings it, the Bible said, He sends His Word and heals us and delivers us from our destructions. It's through the Word of God. It's through the Gospel that Jesus saves, heals, and delivers. Can you say amen? Let's look at Romans 1:16. You know the verse, I'm sure. The Bible says, "For I am not ashamed of the Gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Notice what Paul says. He said, it's in the Gospel that we find the power of God unto salvation. Now, I was raised in a Southern Baptist context, so when we talked about salvation, we meant pretty much one thing and one thing only. We talked about the new birth, salvation from our sins. Thank God we have our ticket punched and we're going to heaven one day. That's what we meant by salvation. But this word salvation, thankfully, has a much broader meaning and application than that. If you think about even our English word, salvation, it's very broad. You can be saved from bankruptcy. You could be saved from a marriage about to collapse. You could be saved from any number. You could be saved from drowning in a pool. So salvation means something very broad, even in our English language. But in the Bible, this word salvation, or soteria, has a very broad meaning as well. And I'm going to read you C.I. Scofield's definition in his Bible. C.I. Schofield, which was a Greek and Hebrew scholar, said the Hebrew and Greek words for salvation imply the ideas of deliverance, safety, preservation, healing, and soundness. Salvation is a great inclusive word of the gospel, gathering into itself all the redemptive acts and processes. So what he's saying is the word salvation is broad in its application. In other words, anything that God is going to save, he's going to save. Any kind of salvation he's going to bring, he's going to bring it through the gospel, for that's where we find the power of God unto salvation. Even when God heals through signs and wonders, it's to confirm the gospel that we preach. Can you say amen? So it's through the gospel that God delivers his power unto salvation, unto deliverance. Whatever area of salvation or deliverance you need, it can come to you tonight through simply expressing faith in the gospel. Notice that there is a criteria. There is a qualifier. It said the gospel is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. And note, believe is an action verb. And how do you know if you believe, there's going to be some actions behind what you say you believe. Can you say amen? So again, it's through his word that he heals us and he saves us. And also, as the scripture said, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Can you say amen? I believe there's a couple of reasons for this. Number one, of course, faith pleases God. The Bible said it's impossible to please God without faith. And of course, we appropriate the blood-bought benefits of redemption through our faith. I mean, even going back to our early days in Sunday school, if you went, you remember Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. By grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, not of our good works, lest any man should boast. So how do we appropriate the benefits of God? Well, he provided them through Christ. In fact, the Bible says in Romans 8, 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? So all things are provided to us through the cross of Christ by the grace of God. They're free, not based on our merits, our talents, our good looks, or anything else. Can you say amen? But we still have to access them. We still have a part to play, and we access them through faith. So we appropriate what God made available freely by grace through our faith. And of course, we know that the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So as we hear what God has provided, as we hear what God's laid out on that wonderful banquet table of redemption, amen. You know, the Bible said he's prepared a table before us in the presence of our enemies. That's not a heavenly feast, folks. That's a right now feast, because there ain't going to be no enemies up there. Can you say amen? No, he's provided a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Like I said, I was raised in a Baptist context, and thank God for them. They shine the light on salvation. But if you will, think of a great, great banquet table. Every delicacy, everything you could desire is on that table. You got the turkey, you got the dressing, you got the cranberry sauce, and on, as far as you can imagine, every kind of wonderful thing to eat and partake of is on that table. But if it's in a darkened room, and the spotlight, if you will, lands only on one particular item, that's all you have light to appropriate. There might be many other things wonderful on that table, but you can't see it to take it. That's how it was in my early church experience. We preached the word, and the entrance of his word gives light, and we had light on salvation. So we could go up to that wonderful banqueting table, take salvation off of it, and eat it in a plenty. Can you say amen? And tell of our friends about the wonderful salvation, the forgiveness of sins that Christ provided for us at Calvary. But friend, there was a lot more on that banqueting table that we didn't shine the light on. And so, like I said, you've heard me share before that getting hungry and having an appetite for more of heaven thing, you know, you can't even hunger for things that you don't know exist. And yet you can have a hunger in you that's not being satisfied by what you see. How many of you ever swung on your refrigerator door at night saying, no, not that, no, not that, but you're hungry for something, you just can't put a finger on it. Can you say amen? And I think the human heart realizes that the bounty heaven's provided is abundant. It is a cornucopia. It is a well-laden table. Can you say amen? And like I said, I made a jailbreak. I got out of my little 3x5 Baptist fence and jumped the fence and found out there were broader pastures to graze in. Can you say amen? I'm not making fun of anybody. I'm just saying that was my experience. And I found out there was a whole lot more on that banqueting table than just the new birth, the forgiveness of sins. Thank God for them. David even articulates it and says, you know, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, crowns you with loving kindness, and on the benefits go. How many benefits does God have? I don't think there's any end to the benefits that we're going to be enjoying, not only in this life, but in the life to come. You read Ephesians 2:8, and it says, throughout the ages, God will continue to show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us. I don't think this thing ever runs out. Amen. And how many of you know, certainly none of us have plumbed the depths of the goodness of God in this life. So there's more to appropriate. Can you say amen? And so thank God it's through faith that we appropriate those blessings and those benefits. But as we said, we have to appropriate them by faith. And faith without actions is really no faith at all, as far as a faith that will appropriate the benefits and blessings of God. I'm going to read a verse here. I'm not going to have you turn there for time's sake, but just a simple verse that you're probably familiar with out of James chapter 2, verse 17, that talks about faith by itself, if it does not have works, or a better word might be actions, is dead. Another translation says, faith without works or actions is dead, being alone. So you can have faith in your heart, but if there's not a corresponding action or response to that faith, the Bible said that faith cannot save. James 2 says that faith cannot save. You know, even when it comes to salvation, Paul's very clear. The Bible said that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, that Christ raised from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart man believes, but with the mouth he confesses unto salvation. That confession being a response to. You know, sometimes our response is so automatic. I have one friend, when he got saved, I used to sing in the gospel quartet with him years ago. And he said, when I got saved, he said, you know, they preached the gospel. They made the appeal. He said, I saw my legs going down to the altar and I figured I might as well get up and go with them. And sometimes our response is almost that automatic, because just our faith is quickened and we're just gone before we realize. And that's wonderful, because it means that our heart is just, you know, responding very naturally with the conviction of the reality of God's word. Can you say amen? I think one of the best examples of faith in motion would have to be the story of the woman healed of the issue of blood. Go real quickly to Mark 5. I don't want to spend a lot of time on her, because I could preach a whole series just on her behavior and respect to the Word of God and the power of God. But I want to just take a moment to show how she put feet to her faith, how she acted on what she believed. Such a powerful story. And we're basically talking about, why does God do it this way? Because again, faith pleases God. And you see that through the ministry of Jesus. That Jesus is delighted when people exercise faith in what he says, but he gets frustrated with people who don't. You know, he got put out with people. Did you know that? When people would not believe, especially the Jews who had covenant with God, when they would not believe, he'd get frustrated. In fact, sometimes he'd say, if you people don't see signs and wonders, you just won't believe. Amen. So notice this woman. It says, and of course Jesus here, just a little bit of context, he's walking through a crowd. In fact, when I was doing my studies for the first book I wrote called Healing the Gospel Truth, the Weiss translation says that the crowd was so thick that it was pressing upon him to the point of suffocation. So this is Jesus, this is the height of Jesus' celebrity. Think Elvis. This is Jesus going through the crowd, everybody wanting a piece of him. I want to touch that guy. You know, he's the magic man, if you will. He's the man of faith and power for the hour. You know, he's the Michael Jordan of the day. Everybody wants a piece of this celebrity, but not everybody's touching him for the same reason. But notice this woman. The Bible said, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years, had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. So she believed. Now, where did her faith come from? The Bible said when she heard of Jesus, or as the Greek more explicitly says, when she heard of the things of Jesus, when she heard the testimonies of people getting set free, no doubt like her, and probably some of her neighbors and friends said, you know, if you could just get in his meeting, if you could just get around the master, there's an anointing. Everyone who comes to his meetings get healed. And she starts hearing about these things, and it starts working a conviction. It starts rekindling hope. How do you know she's had this for 12 years? And how many of you know that long-standing sickness can be very faith-defeating? Especially when you've been in everybody's and their brother's prayer line. Amen. But something began to awaken in this woman, and she said, and she just began to say to herself, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. And so she came. When she heard, obviously, that he was close enough, she came. And the Bible said she came in the press behind. So she did not have a front row seat. It wasn't easy to get down to the front, if you will. Can you imagine like some of these soccer stadiums where people are pressing in against one another, and here's all these young Jewish boys feeling her little scrawny elbows in their sides as she's making her way to the master. Now, okay, let's go ahead and read, because it's important. But you see her faith in motion, right? She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. And then she put feet to her faith, and she made her way in the press behind. And then notice what happens when she actually makes contact, when she touches him. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Verse 29, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And immediately, Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But the disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. Now, big, huge phrase. And he said to her, daughter, your faith, literally in the Greek, has saved you. Same word saved, by the way, that we read over there in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you'll be saved. So again, this goes back to that definition of the word salvation, doesn't it? Healing as well as the forgiveness of sin and the new birth. But Jesus said, daughter, thy faith hath made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction or your infirmity. So where did Jesus lay the credit for her healing? See, for years we've said, oh, that Jesus, what a miracle worker he was. Jesus did not take credit for her healing. In fact, he did not even know she was in the crowd until the healing was accomplished. What did Jesus say? How many of you know Jesus might have an idea of how healing happens? Verse 34, he said, daughter, your faith has saved you. Now, when you get born again, you hear the gospel and you come forward and you ask Jesus in your heart, what saved you? You can say, well, the grace of God, yeah. But the grace of God was there for everybody, just like it was, just like the power of God was there for everyone in that crowd. You think God distinguished between her and everyone else? Do you think he's a respecter of persons? No, but he is a respecter of faith. And like Smith Wigglesworth said, there's something about faith that'll cause God to skip over a million people just to bless you. And so she comes in that crowd. And like I said, a lot of people are touching him for a lot of different reasons, obviously because her touch was distinct. And the Bible said when she touched him, very, very powerful thing. She touched him, she felt in her body, he felt virtue, power, go out. Same Greek word, power, dunamis, that we read over there, that the gospel is the power of God to salvation. Same word we find in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. She was certainly oppressed. This was a work of the enemy in her life. Amen. And yet when she touched him, her faith made demand on the power of God. Now, I don't mean she demanded something of God. I mean, just like when you go flip on a light switch, you made demand on the power that's in that wall. Her faith gave action, if you will, to the power. That's oftentimes the way we say it. But she made a demand on the power of God. Good thing is, if her faith made her whole, your faith can make you whole. Just like your faith saved you, if you will, when you went to the front and appropriated what was available for everyone in that room, her faith likewise distinguished her as one who received from God. Can you see that? Jesus said to her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Can you say amen? So that's one of the reasons why it comes this way. Because God likes faith. And it's when we act on faith that we appropriate his blessings. But I think there's another reason why. And that's because his word oftentimes serves as a plumb line to show us where our lives need adjusting, so that we can get back in position to receive his best. How many of you know a lot of times we want God's blessings, but we want them on our terms? There are some things you can't access until you get yourself in position to do so. Can you say amen? And so oftentimes as we're preaching the word, how many of you know the word of God has a way of finding you out? It's like that old Pack Wrench commercial when I was a kid. It gets into all the hard to reach areas of our lives. It goes in under the cracks in the door and finds your secrets in those closets you've got locked up way down inside. Right down in there where you maybe got a little bit of unforgiveness and maybe a root of bitterness, and the Spirit of God, the light of His Word, will begin to expose some of those things, not to others, but to you. You're the one who needs to see it. It's not like God doesn't know it ain't there. Amen. But His Word will expose things to us that we need to maybe bring before the throne of grace and appropriate some mercy and get some forgiveness and maybe make some adjustments and change our lives so that we put ourselves in position, amen, to receive His benefits and His blessings. He qualified us for them, but we can't live in knowing disobedience and receive all the best of God. There's times when we have to make adjustments in our lives. Can you say amen? Sometimes unforgiveness, sometimes disobedience. I've shared this story before, but I think it bears the telling of Keith Moore, who for years led the Prayer and Healing Center at Rhema Bible Training Center, where I went to school for about 15 years, he was over that. And they had a particular healing school that was for those who had terminal conditions. In other words, they're on their way out. They've already went through medical science, kind of like that one with issue of blood, you know, spent all they had maybe, in some cases had genuinely done that probably. And now they're there. This is their last hope. They've had people come, dignitaries, sent their wives and things from other countries and get in on this, you know, healing, because they're teaching the Word of God. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. Can you say amen? And so Brother Moore said there was one particular man in there, saved, filled with the Spirit, had a beautiful disposition about him, obviously loved God, but he had a condition he just could not shake. And even though he knew the Word, he knew what belonged to him, he knew his rights and privileges in Christ, he knew what Christ had provided through the cross, he knew that healing was in the redemption, for some reason, this man just wasn't making his connection. And so he's there for a relatively lengthy period of time. I believe his wife was there with him also. And I'm assuming his condition was, if not terminal, very serious, obviously. And one day, Brother Moore was teaching along these lines. If you want God's best, you've got to do God's best. You know, if God's told you to do something and you just have flat refused to do it, how many of you know you're not in position for His best? It's kind of like this. Remember when God told Elijah, the prophet, He said, go to the brook Cherith and I've commanded the ravens to sustain thee there. Now, how many of you know it was not up for Elijah to say, well, you know, Lord, I've been watching HGTV and the brook, this other brook over here, man, it's got a view. It's really nice. You know, there's some low cost housing over here during the drought. I'm just going to kind of camp over there. How many of you know that his blessing and provision would have piled up and rotted at Cherith while he was at Brook Kidron? And his bones would have bleached white at Kidron because that wasn't where God told him that his provision awaited him. And sometimes God's got a will for you, something very specific maybe he's talked to you about. Or maybe there's just known disobedience in your heart to something God's dealt with you about. Like we said, it could be an unforgiveness issue or any number of things. So Brother Moore's teaching along these lines, if you want God's best, you've got to do God's best for your life. This man came up to him at the conclusion of that message, he said, Brother Moore, I know now why I have not made my connection. And he said, why, brother? He said, well, as a young man, God called me to the mission field. He said, I told my wife, he said, I was so excited, God called us to the mission field. He said, I told her, and she looked at me and said, God didn't call me to any mission field. If you want to go, you go alone. It's either the mission field or me. And he said, I didn't want to lose her, so he said, I didn't go. He said, you know, all these years we've suffered. He said, yeah, we have a business, and but we've suffered. Our business has suffered. Our children suffered. And he said, of course, now our health has suffered. You can't just do anything you want and qualify for God's best. If you want His best, you've got to do His best. Can you say amen? And so I think sometimes that's why. You know, when you've got to believe God for something, when you need heaven's help, you can't come to the throne of grace without knowing that if there's some stuff in there that needs changing, you know, nobody has to tell you. Amen. You know, it's interesting, if you go through the New Testament, the Bible talks about how the Holy Spirit will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. But if you look in the New Testament, what reproves the Christian is their own conscience. And you know, if you're not right with God, you approach the throne of grace, you come to church on Sunday. That's why some people don't want to come to church, because they know the moment they get in the presence of God and the presence of God's people, all the things that they've been kind of ignoring and shoving down to the bottom of their conscience where they don't have to deal with it are going to come suddenly rushing to the fore. Can you say amen? And so we want to shut out the light because our deeds are not righteous before God. And so sometimes we have to judge ourselves. Remember what Paul said in talking about communion. He said, this is why some have died and some have, you know, died prematurely and some are sick and weak because they've not judged themselves in the way that they should. So sometimes God heals through a word because that word gives us light by which we can make adjustments in our lives and do the things we need to do. Can you say, man, I kind of see it this way. And I won't take a lot of time with this, but when we talk about He sent His Word and healed them, I see it kind of three ways. Number one, He sent Jesus, the living Word, who came and, of course, identified with us, walked the earth for 3.5 years, and then, of course, bore our sin and shame on Calvary's cross, providing for us a complete salvation that provided not only forgiveness for our sins, but healing for our bodies. Second, He'll heal sometimes, or send sometimes a corrective word, which we just talked about. But then sometimes he just simply sends the word of healing to inspire faith in our hearts to receive what we have need of. Can you say amen? So go with me, if you will, to Acts 14, and I want you to see this. That's why we teach on healing. You know, sometimes God will heal through gifts of the Spirit, like what we had earlier. You know, we didn't teach any word or inspire anybody's faith. God's just on the move to heal. Sometimes the power of the Lord is simply present to heal, period. And there are times you can receive a healing really apart from your faith because God's just moving that way. Sometimes you're just getting a healing flow in a service. Amen. And it's wonderful. But there are times where all you have, you know, the great thing is you don't have to have any particular kind of anointing to receive from God as long as you have His Word. Can you say amen? Because again, He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Notice this in Acts chapter 14. Starting with verse, let's just go ahead and look at verse 5. It says, and when a violent attempt was made by both the Gentiles and the Jews with their rulers to abuse and stone them, they became aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding region, and they were preaching the gospel there. This is Paul and his company. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. Now notice this very carefully. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet, and he leaped and walked. Now we've done the same thing with Paul and the apostles, or many have, that we do with Jesus. Wow, that Paul, man, he was a miracle worker, a wonder worker. Man, if I could have only gotten his meetings, I sure could have got it. Too bad he's gone, because I guess when he went, all these things went too. No, Paul didn't heal this fellow. If you watch really closely, it's very obvious that he did not. What did Paul do? In fact, if you really look at the story, you can see that Paul did three things and the man did three things. Paul, number one, preached the gospel. What the Bible said they were doing there, they preached the gospel. Paul preached the gospel. Number two, he saw the fella had faith to be healed. Just a little caveat there. He couldn't have had faith to be healed unless Paul was preaching on healing. How many of you know you'll get faith for healing if you're preaching on who the Antichrist is going to be? Amen. So if he has faith to be healed, Paul had to be preaching a gospel that included the fact that Christ provided healing for our bodies as well as the forgiveness of sin. He was a full gospel preacher. Can you say amen? So number one, Paul preached the gospel. Number two, he saw the man had faith to be healed. And really all he did was help the man act on what he believed. He said, stand up right on your feet. The man did three things. Number one, he heard Paul preach the gospel. It's what you're doing here tonight. He heard the word. Number two, he had faith. Amen. Let me just stop and say this about Paul. Saw the man had faith. It's not like something real spiritual. I discern. No, when someone has faith, when they're getting excited, you know, that's a good way of just knowing whether you got faith. You get excited. Brother Hagin, you say it to me. You say, you know, the word works for you when you get excited about it. And it's true. Because when it starts to light you up on the inside like a Christmas tree, it'll show on your face. So Paul saw the man had faith. So he heard Paul speak. He had faith. And then he acted on his faith. He stood upright. Amen. You know, it's interesting to me. I've looked at this story for years. And then one day, something dawned on me that was powerful. Remember what I made a point of a while ago. James said in James 2:17, faith being alone is dead. It's fascinating to me that Paul's preaching the gospel. He sees a man who has faith to be healed, and there he sits, a cripple. He has faith to be healed. Says so. But there he sat, a cripple. No closer to his healing necessarily. Amen. Same thing happens to sinners every Sunday when the gospel is being preached. How many thousands of Billy Graham crusades have people sat there in the stands with faith to be healed but had a white knuckle grip on that chair in front of them? They're not about to go down because all of a sudden they might lose their position, or they might not, you know, be looked on as favorably as they were before by their friends, by their peers, or whatever. They might lose their position at work, or they might be looked down upon, or whatever, and they're not willing to make that. But as far as believing the message, they believe. Couldn't say they don't believe, but they're not willing to act on that. So here's this man. He has faith to be healed, and yet he sits there a cripple. And I remember years after, well, actually it was before this kind of came to me. I was thinking about that, and I reflected back on a story that a friend of mine told me, a good friend of mine named Tom Slinker. Tom was actually the fellow that inspired me to go to the Bible school that I went to. Tom was, as a young man, he and his wife were very active people. He was an engineer for Boeing. He and his wife were hikers, bikers, all this kind of stuff, very active people. And then all of a sudden he began to notice that his body was not responding the way that it should. And he went to the doctor, and sure enough, he was diagnosed with muscular sclerosis. And that disease became, it was very aggressive in his case, and it began to take more and more of his abilities away, more and more of his dexterity away. His motor functions began to be more greatly impaired. He went from being a healthy, active individual to a wheelchair to ultimately a bed. And the doctors told his wife he's going to eventually need some institutional care. You will no longer be able to take care of him, and then that will be his end, more or less. And of course, just being people in the world, not having any hope in God, that's all they knew to expect. But somewhere in the midst of it all, Tom got saved. Somebody brought the gospel to him, and he heard about the forgiveness of sin. And so he said, I would lay there at night, and he said, I would say, Lord, I'm so thankful that you saved me. He said, I just felt that burden, you know, of sin rolled off my chest. He said, I know I'm born again. I know that when I die, I'm going to go to heaven and be with you. But man, I wished I'd had time to serve you down here. And he said, that would be my kind of my regular prayer at night to God. And he said, all of a sudden a voice spoke to me and said, you don't have to die. And you talk about light coming through a very dark, dark tunnel. And it's kind of like, what do you mean I don't have to die? And the Lord spoke to him and said, read through the New Testament. You've heard me share this story before, many of you. Read through the New Testament. Well, New Testament's big. You know, sometimes you just need a vision. You know, the Bible said, where there is no vision, my people perish. You know, sometimes people just lose hope. They don't have anything to put them, to apply their lives to anymore. So that gave him something to do. So every day, and difficult, motor functions aren't working right. He doesn't have the energy to say it for long periods of time, but he'd read as far as he could. And he went all the way, Matthew through Revelation. He said, Lord, that's great. What do you want me to do now? He said, read it again. So he read it again, Matthew through Revelation. I don't know how long it took him to do it, but he did it. He said, I came to thee, because he said, I thought the Lord might say, now read the Psalms, read Proverbs. You know, he started to learn a little bit more about this stuff. The Lord said, read it again. He said, he told me this personally. He said, the third time through, faith began to come. Third time through. Well, because nobody told him, now read these healing verses. He doesn't even know what he's looking for. He's just reading the Bible. But as he does and sees the works of Jesus and begins to see that Jesus is the walk and talk and will of God, he begins to realize, hey, he's healing all these people. Healing must somehow be associated with the kingdom of God. And he's beginning to get light. Light's beginning to come underneath the door, as it were, into his heart. And faith is beginning to grow. So during that time, he goes off to Bible school. Now, he's gone from the deathbed to back to the wheelchair. So he's moving back in the right direction. And it's there that he goes to this one-year Bible school. At that time, it was a one-year program. He said, every day, man, I'm feeding my faith on the Word of God. Now he has some intentionality about himself. And so he said, I'm feeding on the Word of God every day. My faith is growing stronger. And he said, I went from the wheelchair to a walker. And every day, feeding his faith on the Word of God, not only at school, but I'm sure intentionally feeding his faith for his own healing, going over the Scriptures, and there's many, 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 many of them in the Word of God. Amen. Feeding on the Word of God. Finally, he goes from the walker to a cane. He's regained the ability to drive, and he told me this. This is what fascinated me about his story. He said, Randy, one day I'm driving my car into the garage, still at Bible school. He said, I'm listening to a man teach on faith, faith and healing. So I'm listening to him teach on the principles of faith. He said, as the tape ends, I turn off the car. He said, the moment I turned off the car, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, set your cane aside. You have faith to be healed. Now, this is what fascinated me about Tom's story. He said, when the Lord told me I had faith to be healed, I didn't know it. Now, that kind of went counter to my thinking about faith and how it works. But you think about it. What about this guy? He's listening to Paul. He has faith to be healed, and there he sits, still a cripple. He doesn't know what to do with that faith. Doesn't probably even know what to call it. But Paul does. Paul recognizes it and helps the man act on his faith. Well, all Tom knows is, I got to obey God. If that's the next step in this thing. So he said, now he said, you got to understand and appreciate, he said, where I was when the Lord told me that. He said, because he said, I would walk down the hall, and he said, I still don't have my motor functions all back. So he said, as I would begin to fall, I'd kind of use that cane to push myself back upright, and as I'd start to fall the other way, I'd kind of use that cane. So he's kind of, you know, a little bit of an obstacle course here, hopefully, you know, missing the students as he goes through. He said, if someone stopped me, I'd have to lean on that cane. He said, if they stopped me too long, I'd be leaning on that cane with both hands. He said, if someone kicked that cane out from underneath me, I'd hit the floor flat. He said, that's where I was when God told me, lay your cane aside. So sometimes there's a little bit of a long jump. between where your faith's at and where you want to land, but sometimes you have that, and that's where that act of faith is. You know, God spoke to me to go and start a church in Vermont when I was living in Oklahoma. Could he have moved me to New Hampshire first? No, you know, cross the country, whatever the case. Sometimes there's a long jump. Sometimes God says, leave this and go to that, and there's not a whole lot of security in between other than the word he gives you. Sometimes all we have to trust in is the character of the one who spoke. But he's true. No man that he should lie. Can you say amen? Well, Tom began to do it, and he said it didn't look too pretty at first. He said, I'm careening down the halls. But when I knew Tom, you couldn't have told the difference between he and me. Walked perfectly. Went back to the doctors and said, boys, I don't want to take money from you on false pretenses. As you can see, I'm well. I'm healed. And they said, yeah, but the tests say you still have it, so you have to take the pension, the money. So he preached the gospel all over Russia, and that time the Iron Curtain nations up in that area, you know, Latvia and all these other different places and behind the Iron Curtain, and it just financed his ministry. Amen. But he had faith to be healed. But he had to act on his faith. Just like that man had to act when Paul said, stand upright on thy feet. I'm sure I know because of how these things work. Paul probably said it quite forcefully. And the guy probably jumped up before he realized what he did. Hey, I'm well. Amen. But he had faith to be healed. You know, it was interesting. Some time back, I've shared with you the story that I was in a position where we had our website in Vermont, just like we do here. And we made it available to everybody around the world, just like we do here. And people began to get a hold of some of the teaching that we had. And, of course, a huge focus was on healing. That's always been a strong focus of our ministry. And we just, you know, began to hear from these people, this one particular ministry in India we used to hear from. And they would say, brother, can you come over here to India and help us reap a harvest? And like you heard me say, well, brother, thanks, but we're trying to reap one in Vermont right now. But they asked me, would you like to supply some programming for our Christian TV channel? And I said, well, yeah, I'd love to. Well, at that time, we had just kind of broke in to doing some television. But as I shared with you on Sunday when I was kind of just hitting the highlights, we really didn't have any equipment. We'd go down to the local public access channel and do some of our thing there. But at home, all we had was like a camcorder. Now we had, you know, later we got really nice equipment and, you know, production quality equipment. At that time, we had a camcorder. And I'd learned a little bit about video editing on my home computer. I mean, we're talking rustic. And like I said, when we put our set together, like I said, you could look under the dictionary, under the word rinky-dink, and that's where you would see our set. I mean, it was pretty humble beginnings. But they had asked us if we would go ahead and preach the gospel of healing and send them some messages on the subject of healing. Well, I know the word's going to work. I know He sent His word and healed them. I know it's going to affect these people as we begin to teach. So we like I said, probably about that time, Christian, my oldest son, was probably about 9. He trained that camera on me, and I sat behind my Kmart little desk and with my little backdrop, and I preached the gospel of healing into that camera. Talk about humble, pathetic beginnings, but it was the word of God. And so we just waited. A few weeks later, they began to come in. The first ones I got were actually directly to my email. But then Velu and Elon, the brothers in India, began to translate the testimonies for me and began to send them to me. I'm going to share just a few of these. And the thing that's beautiful about this, I wasn't over there laying hands on anybody. This is just the Word of God. This is people just acting on the Word of God. After every message, we would pray a simple prayer and encourage them to respond to the message of healing. Listen to some of these testimonies. I'm just going to read a few for you. This was from a fellow named James. He said, my wife was having demon possession for 6 years. It tormented her much, and she did not know what she was doing. She could not do any of the household work or look after the children. It was like a hell for me and my children. My family was in great sorrow. My family watched Kingdom TV, which was the channel our program was on, and we listened to Pastor Randy's message. We believed that Jesus could heal my wife too. We joined Pastor Randy in prayer for my wife to be delivered from the clutches of the evil spirit. She was delivered, and she is normal, doing all the household work and looks after the children now. Let me go down to this one. This one's from a fellow, I can't even begin to pronounce half of these, but he was healed of paralysis. He said, I'm 60 years old and I was attacked by paralysis and was bedridden. I thought I had to be on my bed till my death. But my family had great faith in Jesus and they prayed for me daily. One day they asked me to watch Kingdom TV healing message. I heard Pastor Andy from America was preaching on healing. I cried to God to heal me. The Lord heard the prayers of all. I started sitting the first day, and within a week I was able to walk with a cane. Now I am healed totally. I am not a burden to anyone. Healing is for everyone. Thank God for the healing message. I'm just kind of paraphrasing some of these things because they tend to give us a lot more. You know, you understand coming from that nature. They think, oh, that you've healed me. Now what do I need to do kind of thing? And we just point them right back to the Word of God. This lady wrote and said this. She said, I was not having children even after 10 years of marriage. I was a laughingstock for my family. Every day I cried in my bed. Doctors told that taking some medicines and surgery could help me to have a baby. I was helpless. I believe in Jesus. And when I was watching Christian program on Kingdom TV, I heard the preaching of, and then she mentions me. I asked the Lord to heal my womb during Reverend Randy's, while I prayed for the sick. That was in March. The Lord miraculously blessed me, and I am conceived for 2 months. I heard later from her when she was still 7 months pregnant. She said, nothing is impossible for the Lord. I thank the Lord for His wonders. Again and again and again, we would hear these tremendous testimonies of people that were set free by the power of God. I thought this one was kind of cute. It says, I had diabetic problem. The doctors... Oh, no, this is a different one. Let me read this. I had diabetic problem. The doctors took me to amputate my leg from the knee. I was prepared to this surgery. I was about to go to hospital on June 16th. One of my friends gave me a CD. It's kind of like a VCD. Of Pastor Randy's message that was telecast through Kingdom TV. I watched with my family and we trusted that Jesus could help me too. We all prayed with tears for healing my wounds in the leg. The next day the doctors checked. They said there is no need for amputation and I can be cured with nothing but injections. I thank God. And then he goes on and they talk. There was one I wanted to read because it was just such a powerful testimony of a young man. I'll just tell it to you. There was a young man that they were... that they began to have watched the program that had been since he was 8 years of age, like mentally handicapped. He had not been able to feed himself, could not take care of any of his bodily, you know, care. They had to bathe him, dress him, all that kind of thing. And they brought him around the television. They began listening to the broadcast. And they prayed for him at the end of the broadcast that he would be made whole. The brother said nothing seemed to happen right then. But the next morning I woke up and he was sitting at the table in his right mind feeding himself. I'm telling you what, the power of God to save, to heal, deliver is still just as strong today. And how do you know God don't like folk in India better than He likes people in America? Or in Taft? Can you say amen? The power of God is real and will touch our lives today. Let me just read you a couple more and then we're going to pray for anyone who has a need in their body. I really wanted to find this one. I just thought it was so cute. There was this guy, and I don't remember what he even had, some kind of stomach problem or whatever, and he was on his way to the store to get like medicine that he would take in his tea that would ease the pain. And he said as he was going by the store, they had one of these televisions up in the window, and he sat there and he said, some guy from America was preaching, and he said, Jesus can heal folk. And so he said, at the end, while you were leading in prayer, you said, just put your hand wherever you're hurting. And he said, so I just said that I had my eyes shut and I'm praying. He said, when I opened my eyes, I had a crowd of people around me wondering what I was doing. I said, well, that fell up there on the TV said I should pray for myself. He said, I went home. I didn't need my medicine. I was totally healed. And again and again and again, we received these testimonies. There was one lady actually in India that actually had an issue of blood for many, many years. And when I was preaching on the one with the issue of blood, she more or less just said, well, if he'll heal her, he'll heal me. And he did. Praise God. Amen. A couple more and we'll finish here. This one's about the healing of somebody's grandson. He said, my 7-month-old grandson was suddenly affected by diarrhea and was unconscious. We all were scared and took him to the hospital. The doctor treated him but said he was not sure if he could be cured without any complications. Since I am a regular viewer of Kingdom TV and watch your messages, I went home to hear your message on the evening as it was scheduled on that day. My whole family cried and joined with you when you prayed for the sick. When we returned to the hospital, we saw he was healed and was playing. The doctor said it was a miracle and surely God only had healed him. And then they offer their thanks to God. Then lastly, my daughter Jasmine was admitted to the hospital for high brain fever. She was suffering with much pain. The doctors gave drips, but it seemed that she was in great agony. We used to record your healing messages that come on Kingdom TV, so we have decided to play your message in the hospital so that she and we all can hear and increase our faith to heal her. We brought the TV and VCR and played your message, and we all knelt down and prayed when you started praying for the sick. As soon as we finished the prayer, we saw our daughter open her eyes and was praising. Not only that, but two other patients in adjacent rooms were also healed from their illness, thanks to you and to God. Now, you know, it's amazing. This was nothing but the power of the Word. Like I said, there wasn't any over-cologned evangelist there, you know, laying hands on people and taking God's glory. It was just the power of His Word and simple, humble people simply believing that God's Word is still true, it's still full of power, it's still the gospel that saves, heals, sets free, and delivers. Can you say amen? And you know, the thing is, I think we've made it too hard. You know, and I know this is a simple example, but if I were to come up to Maria and I had something that she valued that was precious to her, something she desperately wanted, and if I said, well, no problem, I'll give it to you. See how quick that was? And she is that quick. I want you to know. But why would, if God gave a gift, here's what we think God does. Okay, you have to give it back for a moment. Here you go. No, here you go. No, here you go. No. As soon as you get a little bit better, or as soon as you have more faith. But how much faith does it take to do that? And I think what we've done is we've overcomplicated. You know, you can find books on 554 faith formulas to receive. But you saw how simple it is. How hard was it for you when you got saved? You know, most of us, it was done and gone, and we just accepted it without childlike simplicity. Because it really is that simple. Now, I realize sometimes we battle with symptoms, and we, like that one with the issue of blood, she dealt with long-standing symptoms, and that can be very faith-defeating. And there's all those questions, what if? But why don't we just cast our care on Him, trust in God, receive of His goodness, and trust Him to do what He said He would do. Amen. Let's stand at our feet for just a moment. I don't know what you have need of tonight, and you might not need healing in your body. But one of the things we need to understand about healing, we have oftentimes limited healing to the context of something physical. The Bible said He'll heal our backslidings. The Bible said He heals the brokenhearted. And the Jews, the Hebrews, did not make a distinction between healing of the soul and healing of the body. That's why when the Bible says, by whose stripes you were healed, people said, well, do you think it means emotional healing? Do you think it means, yes, all of it. He heals. Just like that word peace, shalom. One of the Hebrew clerics said the best definition of shalom is nothing missing, nothing broken. Wholeness and soundness in every aspect of your life. That would include your body, your healing. I mean, it's a complete and comprehensive salvation we have received. Amen. So tonight, what we're going to do, I know we've already ministered to a number of people, and maybe you don't need anything physical, as we said, but maybe you just need something broken off your life. Maybe you just feel like, you know, I just need the power of God. I just need to come into agreement with God and believe for something to be broken off my life. Or maybe, as I said, there's something, a hurt down deep that you yourself have not found the way in the Lord yet to kind of exercise out of your life, and yet God can come in and do a great work. You know, when I was in Austria, there was a pastor who came down from southern Germany, and we were laying hands on ministers, and he said, when you laid hands on me, and he said this in his broken English, just eyes kind of like exalted to heaven, it was just so precious to see this guy. He said, when you laid hands on me today, it was me and another minister, he said, I felt God reach in and take out something that was not good and put something in that was. I love that. That's so simple. You know, just like a child. And God will do that. I mean, He can take out a cancer and put in whole flesh. Or He can just take out a sorrow and put in joy. God can do it. And what we just simply need to do is let's get in agreement with God. Hey, He wants to do it. He wants to do it bad enough He sent Jesus to the cross to secure these blessings for us. Can you say amen? So if you have need tonight along these lines, I'm going to have Maria come up with me and minister. But if that's you, I want you to go ahead and come on up right now. We're going to lay hands on you.